ஓம் நம பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நம பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. இதானீம் தர்ம பதஸ்தே, இதானீம் தர்ம பதஸ்தே சத்யாம் நிவர்த்தயேத்யத, சத்யாம் நிவர்த்தயேத்யத தம் ஜிக்ரீக்ஷத் அத்தார்மயம், தம் ஜிக்ரீஷத் சதார்மயம் அந்தேனா இதுவிதா கலி, இதானிம் தர்மபாதஸ்தே சத்யம் நிவர்த்தயத்யதம் தம் ஜிக்ரீஷத் சதர்மயம். ப்ளீஸ். Okay, synonyms. Idanim, at the present moment. Dharma, or personality of religion. Padaha, leg. Te, of you. Satyam, truthfulness. Nirvartayet, hobbling along somehow or other. Yataha, whereby. Tam, that. Jigrikshati, trying to destroy. Adharmaha, the personality of irreligion. Ayam, this. Anritana, by deceit. Editaha, flourishing. Kalehi, quarrel personified. Translation purposed by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. You are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness, and you are somehow or the other hobbling alone, but quarrel personified, Kali, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy that leg. Purport. The principles of religion do not stand on some dogmas or man-made formulas, but they stand on four primary regulative observances, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. The mass of people must be taught to practice these principles from childhood. Austerity means to accept voluntarily things which may not be very comfortable for the body, but are conducive for spiritual realization. For example, fasting. Fasting twice or four times a month is a sort of austerity which may be voluntarily accepted for spiritual realization only, and not for any other purposes, political or otherwise. Fasting, which are meant not for self-realization but for some other purposes, are condemned in the Bhagavad Gita 17:5-6. Similarly, cleanliness is necessary both for the mind and for the body. Simply bodily cleanliness may help to some extent, but cleanliness of the mind is necessary, and it is affected by glorifying the Supreme Lord. No one can cleanse the accumulated mental dust without glorifying the Supreme Lord. A godless civilization cannot cleanse the mind because it has no idea of God, and for this simple reason, people under such a civilization cannot have good qualifications, however they may be materially equipped. We have to see things by their resultant action. The resultant action of human civilization in the age of Kali is dissatisfaction, so everyone is anxious to get peace of mind. This peace of mind was complete in the Satya age because of the existence of the above-mentioned attributes of the human beings. Gradually, these attributes have diminished in the Treta Yuga to 3/4, in the Dvapara to 1/2, and in the age of Kali to 1/4, which is also gradually diminishing on account of prevailing untruthfulness. By pride, either artificial or real, the resultant action of austerity is spoiled. By too much affection for female association, cleanliness is spoiled. By too much addiction to intoxication, mercy is spoiled. And by too much lying propaganda, truthfulness is spoiled. The revival of Bhagavad Dharma can save human civilization from falling prey to evils of all descriptions. So the text one more time. Idanim dharma padaste satyam nivartayet yata tam jigrikshyat tadharmayam andrite naitita kali. You are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness, and you are somehow or other hobbling along. But quarrel personified Kali, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy that leg. So, as we know, Srila Prabhupada invested a lot into the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam because he was not sure how much longer he will live. And so he was thinking, I should put everything, all essential points in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this particular chapter is a prominent example of that. Actually, all these points Srila Prabhupada mentions in here, that would be enough for the whole seminar, right? Won't be possible to discuss this at length. So, you know, one challenge of giving Bhagavatam class sometimes is, instead of thinking what to say, we have to think what not to say, because there is so much to say. Anyone had this challenge, faced that challenge? Yeah. So that's why we'll have to choose the most important point, and of course the most important point is the last leg of the Bull of Dharma, which is satya, truthfulness. And if that leg is restored properly, then the other legs will follow. So full dharma can manifest. And yesterday, for those of you who have listened to the class, His Grace Gauri Vilas Prabhu made very nice points. And the basic idea, the core idea of the class was that even though it is difficult to achieve perfection in the four principles of Dharma in Kali Yuga, there are so many obstacles. But if we just follow, try our best, then Krishna Guru and Vaishnavas will shower their mercy and we will become successful. Kauntiya pratijanihi iname bhakta pranashati. As Krishna says, my devotee will never perish. And so we should also identify the main point for today's discussion on truthfulness. And, of course, the main point being what the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says, demigods, they glorify the Supreme Lord in the second chapter as the personified truthfulness, satya. And so this is why Srila Prabhupada makes the point that truthfulness comes by glorifying the Supreme Lord. So this verse is very beautiful. I mean, the word satya in this verse is repeated 9 times in 4 lines. Satya vratam satya param tri satyam satyasya yonim nihitam cha satye satyasya satyam rita satya netram satyatmakat vam sharanam prapanna. So the demigods are saying, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in the three phases of cosmic manifestation, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, you are the Supreme Truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth in all the ingredients of creation, and therefore you are known as Antaryami, the inner force. You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone for all time. You are the beginning of all truth, therefore offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly give us protection. Of course, this is a very deep verse with loads of meaning in it. And there can be quite a few questions about this verse. Especially because Krishna is also the source of illusion, which is cheating. He is known as Maheshwara, the Lord of Maya. It's one of his names. But nevertheless, he is the foundation and is the source of all truth. And so I was thinking that, especially today, because it is the appearance day of Srivas Thakur, and Srivas Thakur showed a wonderful example of hosting the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his own house. We can say that the Sankirtan movement took birth in his house, right? And the very name Sri Vasa is the abode of Sri, the goddess of fortune. Of course, Srivas Thakur being Narad Muni, who is the personification of Kirtan, right? Narada Muni Bhajayavina Radhika Ramana Name. So he's traveling all over the universe, chanting the glories of the Lord. And now the same Narad Muni comes into Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and he's hosting in his own house the whole Sankirtan movement. The entire Panchatattva is in ecstasy, dancing in Srivas Thakur's house. And it's a very good example for all of us, you know, in relation to our today's topic of overcoming the age of Kali, topic of today's topic of this chapter. Like in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, sages of Naimisharanya came together and they wanted to figure out how to reduce or nullify the effects of Kali. And so, yeah, basically that's the desire of all the devotees, to do something about it, right? To reduce the influence of the age of Kali, because it is breaking the legs of Dharma, right? How many of you would like Kali to be reduced, or even better so, completely finished? Okay. And so, but anyway, Kali is still allowed to function, and of course, Srimad Bhagavatam explains why Kalir Dosha Nidherajan. Asti Heka Mahadguna Kirtanateva Krishna Siya Mukta Sangha Param Rajat. That even though this age of Kali is ocean of faults, you know, if we speak of the faults of Kali, we can speak forever. It's really the ocean. But asti heto mahadguna, eka mahadguna, there is one good quality in the age of Kali. And what is the good quality? Kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sangha param rajat. We can achieve the topmost perfection just by Krishna kirtan, glorifying the Supreme Lord, param rajat. Go to the supreme abode, Braj, and enjoy our life there in the association of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And, yeah, it says that age of Kali is so bad that even though people are unwilling to surrender to the Supreme Lord, but due to so much misery of the age of Kali, they will be forced to surrender. So that's the idea behind allowing age of Kali to function. But Shiva Sangam is a very good example of chanting first, or glorifying first, the Supreme Lord amongst the devotees, and then taking Sankirtan mission out to the public. So this is how it happened in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is also Kirtan. He's also glorifying the Supreme Lord. That's why the perfection of Kirtan, you know, typical person who achieved perfection in Kirtan was who? Shukadev Goswami, right? He is the example of perfect Kirtaniya who glorified the Supreme Lord. And then the sages of Naimisharanya came together and they wanted to figure out how to stop the age of Kali. And, you know, they were performing Yagya sacrifice. And it will be very interestingly mentioned towards the end of this first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya glorifying Shukadeva Goswami. They are saying, you know, like thousands of years of Agnihotra Yagya, that's quite long. So they were saying, we are performing this Agnihotra Yagya trying to stop the age of Kali for so long that our bodies became blackened from the smoke already. And nevertheless, we are enjoying the nectar of Krishna Katha. So they recognized that glorification of the Lord Bhagavatam is the main, we can say, tool or means to reduce or, you know, stop the influence of the age of Kali, because it entails glorifying the Supreme Lord's name, qualities, pastimes, attributes. And so we are following the same process. We are trying to figure out how do we achieve that. And especially these chapters are very clear what is the method of overcoming the age of Kali. especially this particular chapter. Who can stop the age of Kali? Raja Rishi. Maharaj Parikshit was powerful enough to stop the age of Kali. And so, actually this is quite an important point, I feel, because it's interesting that sometimes devotees are asking that Krishna delivered Bhagavad Gita to a Kshatriya, to Arjuna, rather than to some Brahmana, right? And some devotees are wondering, why is that? Why Bhagavad Gita was not spoken to a Brahmana? But the reason is very simple. That Brahmanas are very nice people. But the problem with Brahmanas, that they don't do much. They just learn and preserve and, you know, pass on the spiritual knowledge. That's all, you know. And those who are practically applying spiritual knowledge in life are Kshatriyas. That's why you see Bhagavad Gita, what are the most prominent examples of great Vaishnavas? All Kshatriyas, right? Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Ro Maharaj, you know, list is endless. Very few examples of Brahmanas, right? Mostly Kshatriyas. Because Kshatriyas are the movers and shakers. They make things happen. And so Srila Prabhupada is very clear towards the end of this chapter. He makes very powerful point. Let me read it. Yeah, so this is the end of the purport to the very last verse of the chapter, kind of conclusion Srila Prabhupada makes. Austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness, the basic principles of religion, prepare the ground for the reception of advancement in spiritual knowledge. And Maharaj Parikshit made this favorable condition possible. Thus, the rishis of Naimisharanya were able to perform the sacrifices for 1,000 years, in other words, without state support. No doctrines or philosophy or religious principles can progressively advance. There should be complete cooperation between the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas for this common good. Even up to Maharaj Ashoka, the same spirit was prevailing. Lord Buddha was sufficiently supported by King Ashoka, and thus his particular cult of knowledge was spread all over the world. So that's the key point of the entire chapter. Cooperation between Brahmanas, devotees, and Kshatriyas, rulers. Unless that is achieved, there is no hope for any significant success on our part in trying to do what we are trying to do. Because in relation to truthfulness, it's also not very straightforward. So it takes intelligence to understand what is truthfulness, not what is not truthfulness. As, you know, sometimes the disciples were telling Srila Prabhupada, you know, you are telling us not to change anything, otherwise everything will be spoiled. But we see you changing so many things all the time. So how do we understand this? You are telling us not to change anything, but you are changing everything on a regular basis. And Prabhupada says, we cannot change principles, but we can change details. Then next natural question came up. How do we understand the difference between principles and details? And what Srila Prabhupada said? It takes intelligence. So, and of course, intelligence is given by the Supreme Lord. Dadami Bhuti Yogam Tam, as we know. If someone is serious about spiritual practices, then Krishna gives the intelligence. And so, that's why it is, you know, Krishna is glorified as truthfulness personified. But then the same Krishna in Mahabharata tells Arjuna that, you know, you should not be too bent over truthfulness. You remember that episode when Ashwatthama was fighting very fiercely and Yudhishthira Maharaj was injured in the fight so badly he had to retrieve, he had to, you know, go back to the camp to recover himself. And once this news reached Arjuna, he wanted to see how Maharaj Yudhishthira is doing. And he, together with Krishna, of course, being his charioteer, they went to see Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Maharaj Yudhishthira was under the impression that Arjuna killed Ashwatthama. And that's why he came to break the good news to him, right? And so he started glorifying Arjuna. Oh, you're so great, Ashwatthama was such a formidable enemy. It's so good that you finally killed him. But then Arjuna had to tell him, no, actually, I didn't kill him. I just came to see you. And then Yudhishthira Maharaja's mood completely changes, and then he starts scolding Arjuna. How dare you to leave the battlefield without killing this Ashwatthama? You know, you are not a kshatriya. You just use that as an excuse to leave the battle, you know, that you wanted to visit me and see how I am doing. You should be fighting at the front line. But you are cowardly escaped from the fighting. So you're not even worthy of a kshatriya. Maybe you should, you know, give up your Gandiva bowl. Just give it to Krishna. He will make better use of it, etc. But Arjuna made a vow that if anyone will tell me to give up my Gandiva bow, I immediately kill that person. And so Arjuna pulled out his sword to kill Yudhishthira. Right? And Krishna is looking at Arjuna. He says, what are you trying to do, Arjuna? Why did you pull out this sword? I see no enemies to fight with here. And Arjuna says, I made a vow, I'll kill anyone who tells me to give up my Gandiva, so I'll kill Yudhishthira. And Krishna, you know, tells him many things about truthfulness and how truthfulness can be useless in certain instances. And it's very interesting. He says, normally we should be truthful, but it's not applicable to wealth, marriage situation, and life and death situation. Don't ask me about marriage situation, because I'm a sannyasi. Why one should not be truthful in marriage. But yeah, Krishna is saying that, you know, to protect your wealth, to protect your life, and I suppose to protect your marriage, you should not be too truthful, right? Because if spouses will start telling each other everything they really think about each other, the marriage will fall apart very quickly, right? So, I suppose sometimes in marriage, one should also like be a little bit diplomatic and to say, oh, this is so nice, even though you don't think it's so nice.
whatever your spouse is doing.
Anyway, and so Krishna says, Arjuna, this is not a good situation to follow your vow. So you should not follow your vow, because if you become too truthful, fanatically truthful, you know what can happen to you? And then Krishna tells the story of one Brahmana named Kaushik, who made a vow, and Brahmana is supposed to be truthful, right? So he made a vow that no matter what, he will only tell the truth. And so one day, there were, you know, dacoits chasing some people, and Kaushik saw those people hiding in the forest. And so the dacoits approached him and they said, "Have you seen those people?" And Kaushik thought, "Let me stick to my truthfulness." And he said, "Yeah, those people, they are hiding there in the forest." So the dacoits went there and killed those people. And what happened to Kaushik? As a result of his truthfulness, he went to hell for a very long time. So that was the, you know, fruit of his truthfulness, going to hell. So, and Krishna tells Arjuna, "So you want to be truthful and go to hell for killing Yudhishthira? You know, don't be, you know, foolishly truthful. Understand that truthfulness also has aspects to it." So, very interesting example. And of course, same Krishna induces Yudhishthira to lie, right? Even though Yudhishthira was dedicated to truthfulness. So there are so many examples that even the truthfulness cannot be fanatically understood. Like, we can see even example of Srila Prabhupada, how he associated with other people sometimes. Like, he was interviewed by one reporter, and the reporter started asking him very, you know, provoking questions, you know, questions about the issues. No matter what you tell, you'll be condemned, right? There are certain topics, you just touch them, you'll be condemned, no matter what you say, because they're so controversial. And so this reporter started asking Srila Prabhupada about these controversial topics. And Prabhupada knew exactly where he's going with that. And he said, "Do you want to hear what you like to hear, or would you like to hear the truth?" And of course, reporter had to tell, "Yeah, I want to hear the truth." And then Prabhupada said, "The truth is that we are not the bodies, but spirit souls. And Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and we are meant to serve Him." And so for next 20 minutes, he preached to him direct Krishna consciousness. And because that reporter agreed to hear the truth, he diligently recorded everything Prabhupada said. And probably in the first time of the history of this newspaper, the positive article came out about Krishna consciousness, right? Because normally the newspapers, anyway, all this news, you know what is the news, right? That evening news. They tell you, they start by telling you good evening, and then for next half an hour they're explaining why it is not a good evening, right? So all this, you know, Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. You know what my take on it? Why quarrel and hypocrisy? Quarrel mentions first and then hypocrisy. Basically, if you tell people in many cases, "Oh, it's so nice to see you. I'm so glad to see you," there is a good chance that you are hypocritical about it. You know, it's like one man is asking another one, "How are you doing?" He says, "Oh, it's by your prayers. Then you won't last very long." Like that. So, Yeah. You either fight with people or you are hypocritical about it, right? That you're hypocritically positive. So, and it is very rare to hear the truth or read the truth, but in this article, you know, it was a very rare occasion that this reporter published very positive article about Krishna consciousness, because he was so impressed by how Srila Prabhupada handled him. But we can understand that Srila Prabhupada was not completely straightforward, right? Because if you deal with cheats, you have to cheat. It's interesting how Srila Prabhupada says in a purport that too much lying propaganda destroys truthfulness. Interestingly, he doesn't say lying propaganda destroys truthfulness. He says too much lying propaganda destroys it. Why? Because in Kali Yuga, you know, most of the people are habitual liars anyway, right? I can't remember the numbers, but they calculated how many times a day people are lying. It's something, you know, outrageous number. So it's common to hear lies all the time. But too much of a lying propaganda, when it is done consistently and persistently, you know, like in this Panchatantra story about the Brahmana, who received a goat as a reward for him doing yajna, and he was carrying this goat on his shoulders, and then the three cheaters, they wanted to take the goat away from him, and so they devised a strategy that they positioned themselves along the road where Brahman was going. And first one came out, he said, "Oh, namaste, how are you doing, Panditji? I just have one question, that why are you carrying dog on your shoulder?" He said, "What dog? This is goat. Are you blind?" So he was a little annoyed, so he just went ahead. But the man said, "You know, please don't be angry with me. I'm just asking what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that it's not actually a goat, it's a dog." So the Brahmana didn't want to talk to him, so he carried on. But then the next cheat came out of the hiding, and he said, "Oh, namaste, Panditji. How are you doing? Why are you carrying that calf on your shoulders?" Then this Brahmana became even more annoyed. He said, "What that calf? It's a goat, don't you see?" And the cheat said, "Don't be upset with me, I'm just saying what I'm seeing." So the Brahmana carried on, and then the third cheat came out of the hiding. And he said, "Oh, Panditji, good to see you. But I have a question. Why are you carrying donkey on your shoulder?" Brahmana was completely bewildered. "Why are these people calling my goat, you know, dog, dead calf, donkey?" So he went ahead, and he was thinking, is it actually goat or is it ghost taking different shapes? Seems like it is ghost, so I have to get rid of it. So he dropped the goat and went running, and of course the cheats got the goat for themselves. So like that, I think the, the head of the Nazi propaganda, Hebbels, I think, he said, you know, if you tell the same lies often enough, everyone will start believing it. So you just have to repeat the same lie, and it will be accepted as truth. So that's why Prabhupada says, too much of a lying propaganda destroys truthfulness. And, Srila Prabhupada was using different techniques with different people, like Tamal Krishna Maharaj tells the story, how in here, in Mumbai, when the there was a struggle to, you know, get property of the land from Mr. Nair. So they called Mr. Nair in as a guest, and then, you know, by that time he already changed the papers so that devotees would lose the land. And so Prabhupada called Mr. Nair in, but, you know, he was thinking Prabhupada might cheat me one way or the other. So he brought his guru with him. So they came together. And Prabhupada made very nice reception, and he gave very big feast to Mr. Nair and his guru. And after the feast, Prabhupada took with them. And after the feast, Prabhupada started yawning. And he started asking Mr. Nair, would you like to take a little rest? And Mr. Nair said, yeah, sure. And so Prabhupada led them to the room with beds, nice beds. So they lied in there and they fell asleep very quickly. But then Prabhupada came out. And he came to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and he said, they're already sleeping. Quickly go and wake up Mr. Nair, but don't wake up the guru. So he did that. You know, the guru kept snoring in his room. And then Mr. Nair, of course, he was, you know, like a little foggy after waking up. And Prabhupada started preaching to him and he made him change the papers back. Like that. So, and then Prabhupada said, you know, if someone is asking you, are you tired? That means that person is tired, right? Or if someone's asking you, are you hungry? That means that person is hungry. So Prabhupada used, you know, trickery in the service of Krishna. And of course we know Krishna also used that even with four regulative principles. When Srila Prabhupada came to the West, even though he was mentioning it's a good idea to follow four eggs, but he never actually directly told the first disciples you have to follow four eggs. It's later, after they already got initiated. You know, there is a famous Prabhupada written note that all my initiated disciples supposed to chant 16 rounds and follow four eggs. But they didn't actually sign up for that. So, but they had to accept it post factum from Prabhupada. And in one class, Prabhupada directly says, I was very hesitant to tell you about four regulative principles because Western countries, four principles are not at all popular. And so he said, I was thinking, if I will tell you about the four principles, maybe you will tell me, Swami, I think it's enough, you have to go home now. It's time for you to go home. But surprisingly enough, devotees accepted, because they already became purified by chanting, by Prabhupada's association, prasadam. So they felt, yes, we have to do something more. And so, yeah, that's one of the secrets of Prabhupada's success. He started with positive alternative, paramdrishta nivartate, and then he introduced the restrictions as well. And so, but the question is, can we also cheat? Of course, devotees tried that in early days, cheat for Krishna. But actually, there are more loss than gain in that. Even though sometimes it went well. Like, one Prabhupada disciple remembers how he joined Krishna consciousness. He already heard about the devotees. He wanted to know more. So he came to the temple and he wanted to buy some Prabhupada books to read. And so he found one devotee and he said, I wanted to buy some books of your spiritual master. Can you recommend me which book? And, you know, try to ask this question to the book distributor. So this devotee was, you know, pushing him one book, then the other book. And each time this devotee was asking, so how much do I pay? This devotee was saying the same thing. Oh, we're just asking for a little donation. And, you know, he already heard that, you know, you have to donate for the book. So he brought enough money with him. And so he would give him something he was thinking was enough. And he was asking, is it fine? And the devotee would say, well, it would be good if you give something more. And so after each book, it was happening like that. Until, you know, this devotee ran out of books to sell. And this Prabhupada disciple ran out of money to donate. So it was going on like that. And, you know, he was thinking, maybe I can, you know, this devotee is obviously cheating me like that. Just give little donation, then more. And so let me try to embarrass him a little bit. And he said, you know, I don't have any more money to give you, but I have this empty wallet. Would you like to take it? And the devotee said, sure. So he took the wallet and he ran somewhere up. And he was completely confused. Where did he run? And then he came back and he said, I'm sorry, we cannot accept anything made of leather. So he gave him the wallet back. But to the credit of this Vaishnava, he still joined the movement. So sometimes it was working, but many times it was backfiring. So we have to be very careful about it. But it is really important that, you know, we understand the difference between principles and details and never go against the principle of truthfulness. And the principle, the core principle of truthfulness is to always be truthful with Krishna Guru and Vaishnavas. This is the minimum level, right? Because sometimes we are not. Like, you know, the joke about the man who was looking for a parking spot and praying to God, can you please send me the parking spot? As soon as he made the prayer, then one car pulls out and he tells God, you don't have to bother. I already found the parking spot. So that's, you know, not being truthful with Krishna. And, the other point is, the only exception, you know, vivid exceptions from this rule to be truthful is the 9th offense against the holy name, preaching to faithless people, because it makes no sense, no point to telling them the truth, because they won't appreciate it, right? It's like, no matter what you tell to the core atheist, convinced atheist, he will not accept it, right? It's like a Russian story. One Christian and one atheist are talking with each other, and, you know, in Orthodox churches, they have this tradition of ringing the bells on the top of the church to call everyone for the service. And so they have specially designated person who goes up and rings all the bells on the top. And so the atheist tells the Christian that, you know, how do you know that God exists? And the Christian says, well, because there are so many miracles God performs. And the atheist says, what miracles? There are no miracles. Everything is explainable by science. And Christian says, you know, our bell ringer misstepped on the top and he fell down all the way. And he didn't die, and he was not even injured upon landing. Is it not a miracle of God? And atheist says, no, it's just a coincidence. Then Christian says, okay. What about the same thing happening after a short while, again he misstepped and fell down and nothing happened to him? Then atheist says, well, it's a synchronicity. It just happened. You know, coincidences happening two times. So synchronicity. Then the Christian says, what about the same bell ringer who again misstepped and fell down and again nothing happened to him? How do you explain that? Three times in a row. And the atheist says, well, probably it's already a habit. So he got habituated of falling like that. So no matter what arguments you bring to these people, they will not accept. So that's why Shastra is recommending not to bother. If someone is not interested, better not to waste time with them. Not to tell them the truth, because they will never appreciate it. Rather, they will become offensive. But yeah, truthfulness, it's very interesting where it starts. And we were saying in the beginning, it starts with chanting Krishna's names, right? But then we know that so many wrong things were done in the name of God also. So where is the solution? Because religion is like a double-edged sword. It can heal, it can kill also. And we've seen that. So what is the solution? It's bhakti. And bhakti means the process of devotional service, which consists of six stages, which are very wonderfully described in Nectar of Devotion. Kleshagni Shubhada, Sandrananda Visheshatma, Moksha Laguta Krit, Durlaba Krishna Karshini. So, this is the foundation of developing, development of truthfulness and Dharma. And Acharyas are explaining that the first two symptoms are belonging to sadhana, bhakti. The next two symptoms are belonging to bhava bhakti, and last two symptoms are belonging to prema bhakti. So, even if we are on the stage of sadhana, then we can understand whether we are really advancing spiritually, at least by these two symptoms, Kleshagni and Shubhada. Whether we become free from the influence of miseries upon us, no matter what happens externally. And Shubhada, whether we see Krishna's blessings in our life all around. So these are the clear symptoms of our spiritual advancement. And then, of course, we can go further. Sandrananda Visheshatma, experience unlimited bliss. And Moksha Laguta Krit, if someone will want you to stop your service, you will say, why? I'm enjoying it so much. Why do I have to give it up, right? You are not interested even in liberation. And, of course, such devotees are extremely rare, durlabha, and even Krishna is attracted by their devotion. And so, this is really the solution. Bhakti is the solution. And also it's very important what Srila Prabhupada said in the beginning of the purport, that the principles of religion do not stand on some dogmas or man-made formulas. So he's differentiating between mundane religiosity and spirituality, which of course is the mission of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, as it is explained in the second verse, because first verse is just Mangalacharana invocation, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, but second verse immediately says, Dharma Projita Koita Vatra Paramonya Matsaranam Satam, that Bhagavatam is meant to oppose cheating religiosity and establish the topmost truth. So, many things were mentioned. We could say more, but we don't want to hold you for too long. If anyone has any complaints, corrections, wants to express any doubts or make comment or ask question, you're welcome to do so for maybe another couple of minutes, and then we'll move on to more exciting part, which is breakfast. And we have a good news for all of you. I just came from Tirupati, and devotees gave me very special Maha Prasadam Lado. You know, there are so many thousands of people visiting Tirupati every day, and so many ladus are offered to the Lord, but there are only 108 ladus offered right inside of the altar to the Balaji. And so we have one of those special ladus for all of you who are interested to try it. Hare Krishna, after the class. So, stimulus to stay back. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj, for explaining so wonderfully. We should be truthful, and sometimes using our intelligence we can be diplomatic for service of Krishna, but that requires some kind of intelligence. My question here is to understand, our mind tells sometime to hide some truths to tell to someone. So that is also counted as untruthfulness, or how does it count to?
If we don't say the truth.
Yeah, and we are silent but not saying the truth.
Yeah, again, the same, you know, for us, the the guideline is the principles of bhakti, right? And even the first two, Kleshagni and Shubhada, should be, you know, should be the guiding lines. Whether, you know, by my truthfulness I will cause misery, and whether it will be actually beneficial. So if it will not be beneficial, and if it will cause misery, you know how Vidura was not actually telling Pandavas about the departure of Krishna from this abode, because, you know, bad news are bad, so he didn't want to share the bad news with them. He didn't want to disturb them unnecessarily. So that is the guidelines for us, the process of bhakti. All right, so Hare Krishna. So we'll finish here. Thank you all very much. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Balaji Mahaprasad Ki Jai. The Vedic principle is Mathurena Samapayat, that everything has to have sweet ending, even though what we spoke was not very sweet, but at least in the end it will be sweet.